Her first night in Sycamore, the girl snuck out of the house. Wearing frayed purple canvas shoes and a new puffy vinyl winter coat, the red-orange of an ocotillo bloom. The girl paused on her tiptoes on the threshold when the front door hinges creaked. Her mother, deaf in her left ear, didn't stir, and the girl shut the door with a click. This wasn't the girl's first time to slip out the door late at night, and it wouldn't be her last. There would be a last time, but not tonight. For now, she had this night, her first in a small northern Arizona town where her mother had dragged her. She shoved her notebook inside her coat and hurried down the driveway. Her breath smoked in the desert winter air. At the end of the driveway, beyond the porch light's bold halo, she stopped. No Phoenix streetlights, no swish of tires from nearby 7th Avenue, no shouts echoing from the bus stops and bars, no jet engines from red eyes at Sky Harbor. She stared into a cold, silent darkness so vast she grew dizzy. An eerie quiet, unquiet. Sweat prickled her armpits, and she widened her eyes, thinking about the owls that roosted in their neighbor's ash tree back home. That prize fighter bob and weave as they gauged what lay before them. She looked up, and the silence stopped. The carbonized sky howled as the Milky Way cracked its sternum, exposing its galactic heart. She clenched her eyes shut as if she'd stared into a Klieg light. Back in central Phoenix, in a neighborhood blanketed by the grapefruit haze of streetlights, the night sky never sank into black. Even out in the desert, beyond the city's glow, stars and planets hung back like shy children. Her nostrils flared at the sudden smell of mint, and she shivered with the sensation she had tumbled down a hole. She thought, "Oh my God, I'm baby Jessica. I'm in a well. Help! It's dark in here." She laughed with a hard exhale, and the sound surprised her. She opened her eyes. That was her father's laugh, a caw that veered into honk. Her eyes began to adjust. The shapes of trees and shrubs and rooftops sharpened, and neighbors' lights emerged as pushpin dots along the edges. Her new street stretched before her, a single stripe down its center. Roadrunner Lane. Beep, beep, she thought, picturing childhood cartoons. And as if on cue, coyotes began to yip in the distance. The silhouette of the Black Hills loomed. To the west, she knew, because the sun set over the hills, salted with the lights of Jerome. Her nose, ears, and feet growing numb, she hopped up and down for warmth, trying to decide if she should go inside for a hat and thicker socks. Instead, she began to jog the mile east toward town. Though she was tall and long-legged, she'd hit 5'10 that year. She was not a graceful runner. Arms flailing and feet dragging, she felt more like a branch caught in a rushing river, lurching over rocks and roots, tumbled forward by the force of mass and gravity. 16 had been the year of hips, and she had to cinch the waistbands of her wider pants with belts and safety pins. And look at those feet. Ridiculous. It was a wonder she didn't trip over them every second of the day. She'd quit ballet last year, self-conscious now of her body in a leotard, of her lumbering leaps and thuds on the studio floor. How had humans evolved into these stupid, un-aerodynamic bodies? Still, she was outdoors. She was moving forward, gulping down clean, cold air. In the low end of the foothills, the road swelled and dipped, crossed washes and the depressions. Downhill, she picked up speed. Her puffy red jacket made a pleasing slushy sound as her arms swished against it, her notebook tucked against her heart. Impetuously, she leaped. A quick jeté, 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 defying gravity for three brief spans.